Ever notice how the best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pet Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real life questions. Pet Talk with Meg,
weekdays 9 to 11
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning. It's Pensacola Morning News. Craig Heinzman sitting in for Andrew McKay here at News Radio 92.3 AM dial 1620. I am the community engagement pastor at Marcus Point Baptist Church with campuses in Pensacola, Beulah, North Pace, and Molino. North Pace being Chumukla, but you know, some people don't know what that is unless you know where the pig is, and you know that is Chumukla, and everyone there knows it. So we talked a little bit about the idea of unintended consequences in the first hour. And in Davos, nearly 400 millionaires and billionaires, including Disney heirs, Hollywood actors, hedge fund founders, signed an open letter demanding something you would never think you would hear from them, which is tax us, tax the super rich. On the surface, it sounds really noble. It sounds selfless. It sounds even moral. But there's an uncomfortable question that we're really not allowed to ask is, what if they're wrong, not morally, but practically? What if they're wrong practically? What they're proposing is an ultra-rich, that their claims are that the ultra-rich avoid income taxes, wealth inequality is disabling democracy, taxing the net worth is the only way to restore balance, and the rich won't suffer because they have too much money. So it's this kind of Robin Hood mentality that is seemingly makes a lot of sense. If someone's got $1 billion in assets, then they should be taxed for the $1 billion in assets. But something important, they didn't talk about eliminating loopholes first. They didn't propose simpler taxes. I'm a big, big proponent of, let's just 10, 15%, whatever it's got to be, the flat tax, just go ahead. Let's get it done. Because that's, when it comes to equality, seemingly the most fair option. We're just straight equality is everyone pays the exact same thing. So the millionaire pays, 10%, and the person that's making minimum wage pays 10%, same as everybody else. The numbers change, but the percentage never does. But the idea is, let's just jump straight to confiscation. Their argument feels right because, if we're honest, a single dollar means more to somebody that's living paycheck to paycheck than it does to a millionaire. It feels unjust, and the rich do influence politics. There is no doubt about it. I told my son the other day, there really is no red, no blue, no purple. There's green, and that. I believe that exists on all sides. That is not a partisan statement. I'm not saying one side does it more than the other. I'm just saying that there's the reality that there is money in politics. You wouldn't have lobbyists if there wasn't, right? We wouldn't be paying people to voice concerns and bring things up one way or the other, right? So, what do wealth taxes actually do? In 1990, we had 12 developed countries that actually had a wealth tax. They had this in place. Today, only three of those countries still have that in place. Only three of them. Why? Because they figured out, guys, it doesn't work. They raise very little money. Often 0.2% of their gross domestic, their GDP, came from this wealth tax. And the administrative costs are massively high, chasing all this down, going through it all, figuring out the asset stuff. So by the time you get the money, you've spent a ton of money to get the money. And then what else happens? Well, we're seeing it happen in California right now with the proposed wealth tax that's coming on. We're talking about a loss of millionaires and billionaires going out of out of California. Where are they fleeing to? Texas, Florida. Somewhere going to Nevada. Same thing is currently happening in New York City, where they're actually just crossing. They're going over to New Jersey. That's the problem with New York City is, like, you don't have to go very far, and you can still do business in New York City, but you just don't have to be there. If you have an extreme amount of wealth, you kind of can just, you know, go wherever you want to. Now, let's get to traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Culver's. Try the Club Chicken Sandwich and sign up for the Welcome to Delicious app. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway in Milton, Culver's Welcome to Delicious. Still just working that vehicle crash, Whitingfield Circle at Rupert Orso Drive in Milton. Use caution. I'm PJ through Traffic on the Fives. Back to you.
So we talked through, we're going to catch some radio spots here in just a second to, you know, pay the bills. But in France, this is a great example of this. Emmanuel Macron, this is one of the things that he had kind of been staunch on. They implemented this wealth tax. They lost 42,000 millionaires, fled the country. They lost more revenue than the taxes they gained. So in essence, this tax that was supposed to bring in all this money actually ended up netting them a whole lot less money. And it just, again, the law of unintended consequences plays out over and over and over again. We'll be back here after a few short commercials.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Don't you hate it when you wake up and feel like you already missed something important? The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Weekdays, 5 to 9. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. It is Pensacola Morning News back here. We were talking through the proposed wealth tax that 400 millionaires signed and said, hey, we want you to tax us. And we talked a little bit about how that did not work out well in France. 42,000 millionaires left. They lost more revenue than the tax they actually collected. In Sweden, they abolished the wealth tax after a capital fight, and their economic growth increased dramatically afterwards. Now, why? Because there's a difference between liquid assets and illiquid assets. It's this idea that I'm super wealthy because I have land that is valuable is sometimes a misnomer. You see that up in Jay. I was in Jay, Florida as a pastor for a period of time. And there's some of these guys own huge tracts of land. I mean, massive amounts of land that's very valuable. That land is not necessarily making them thousands and thousands of dollars. In fact, the cycle for a farmer is you're going to have a normal year where you break even. You'll have a bumper crop year where you make money. You're going to have a year where you lose a ton of money. Then you're going to come back to break even. It is not a very easy thing to do, farming that land. But on paper, a farmer, small business owner, has a great deal of assets, and there's so much that they have, and it looks like you want to just say, hey, you've got all these things. We need to take some of it because it's just not fair. But here's the problem with this concept is morality sometimes doesn't need to override math. Because the numbers are showing this is exactly what happens. Farms, factories, startups, they're the ones that pay the bill. These guys that are trying to start something up, that are trying to do something new, that are trying to make it, they're the ones that are going to that are really going to pay this. Cash poor and asset rich people get crushed because, yes, I have land or I have stocks or have commodities that have been invested in, but I don't that's not sitting in my bank account right now. That's there. One day can be realized. And when those gains are realized, guess what? They're taxed. But until that time, they're just chilling. And so wealth is not income. It's often unutilized, non-liquid, and not and productive means of creating business down the line. It's so funny. I think about small business guys, and I think about guys that are out there just hustling, trying to make it happen, trying to make something of themselves. We talked a little bit about TikTok and all those guys earlier, but there's somebody I saw at the fair. And I believe my kids had seen his stuff on TikTok. I'm not 100% certain, but he's a local vendor, and it's called Trap Snacks. And it is frozen candy-covered fruit. Oh, my goodness. It is so good. It is so good. It's expensive. It's probably way more money than you want to spend on frozen fruit, but it's so good. And here's a young man. He's got great logos. He's got great graphics. He's got a good marketing plan. He's doing it. I want that kid to be successful. I want that guy to make money and to create packaging and I want him to do all those things. And I don't want him to fear, yes, my success is now going to bring me more pain. That's where we got to get to. And again, these laws of unintended consequences, we have to say, we can't just tax our way out of certain situations. If we want to be fair, let's close up some of these loopholes. If we want to be fair, let's create a flat tax. If it's all about fairness, let's do those things. But let's be real. Let's look at how we spend money. We've got some very stark realizations recently coming out of Minnesota of the fact that we don't have control of where this money's going and what's happening to it. No matter what side you're on, you got to go, okay, that's not good. That's not okay. Right? And there's a lot of things going on in Minnesota right now. A lot of stuff going on in Minnesota right now. I'm not saying that I think we're going to see the legal system play out in this ICE situation. We saw that happen in Uvalde, Texas. A lot of the families did not like the verdict that just happened in Uvalde, Texas. And you on the outside, me on the outside, I'm looking at this going, I don't understand how this officer didn't get charged or whatever, right? But that's my opinion. That's not the facts of the case. The facts of the case now, as they stand, is this man was tried by a jury. They looked at all the evidence. They returned and said, he's not guilty. He's not guilty. Okay, then he's not guilty. Do juries get it wrong sometimes? Yeah, absolutely they get it wrong sometimes. But the truth is they looked at the evidence, not posturing, not opinion, not, sound bites or news clips. They looked at the evidence and they found out this is what went wrong. I hope and I pray that that's the same process we're going to see with Renee Good. I think that was a tragedy. I don't care how you look at it, that was a tragedy. Shouldn't have happened. Whether it be that she shouldn't have gone up on that officer with that vehicle, that officer should, whatever you want to say, someone lost her life as a tragedy. Shouldn't have happened that way. My expectation is I can't rush to judgment on that situation. I'm going to let it play out. I'm going to let the court systems tell me what the evidence shows, and then we're going to see what happens. That's the fair thing to do. That's the right thing to do, guys. That's how we should be doing this. So as we look through all this world, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. It was so funny. Christina Leavenworth came into the studio after this. And I forgot her husband does a whole school of magic. I'm a big, I love magicians and illusionists. I've seen a number of them. I've, and I kind of revealed one of the ways David Copperfield did one of his tricks when he was here in Pensacola. And once you see that, you realize that sometimes, guys, the thing you see on the news, the big story, that is not the big story. It's the flash to get you distracted from this big story. Sometimes that what's coming out of the White House, what's coming out of the Congress or the Senate, or even out of a state house like in Minnesota, what you're seeing there, it's like, hey, focus over here on this. Focus on the protest. Focus on this. Focus on this. Don't focus on the fact that there's this massive mismanagement of funds. Don't focus on that. Focus on something else. Look over here. Look over here. Look over here. That's the illusionist playbook. And so when you kind of see that, you can go, all right, let me figure out what's really going on. And the same thing's true with the wealth tax. The same exact thing happens there. It's like, hey, no. The problem is the wealthy. The problem is the wealthy. Look over here. Look over here. Knowing that a lot of these guys that are saying, hey, you know, tax me, tax me, tax me, their stuff is actually well shielded. They're not going to pay that much. It just looks good on paper. It looks, you know, it's a moral win, but it's not a realistic win. Okay. So all I'm telling everybody, no matter what side of the aisle you stand on, or if you stand in the center of it and you look at both sides, guys, we have to look at the news. We have to look at what's going on. We have to look at facts, not opinion. We have to be willing to say, I'm going to look through some of the smoke screen that's coming out. I'm going to look through some of the illusion that's coming out, and I'm going to make decisions based on the facts. One of the things I will say this, I love about Pensacola, I love about this community is, and we're going to have some folks on from Leadership Pensacola in the wrap. One of my friends from the class of 2023, Randall Richardson, is going to be joining us. And then somebody from the current class is going to be joining us. One of the things I loved about Leadership Pensacola is I was in the room and sat down and became friends with so many people that had different opinions than I did, different political views than I did, different religious views than I did. And it was a beautiful thing to be able to sit down with them and work on a project to improve Pensacola, improve the life of this local community that we love and we cherish, without all of the fighting and the nastiness that exists out there. And that's still something I really honestly still love about Pensacola as a general rule. We will listen to each other. We will talk with one another. We will be friends with one another when we don't necessarily align on some of these things. We are not as polarized, it seems to me, at least at this moment in time. Maybe that changes. It just seems like we are not as polarized interpersonally as the rest of the world. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing here in Pensacola. Because I want nothing more for this community to be a place where people can come, they can live, they can work, they can play, and they can worship. And I want that to happen freely, and I want that to happen openly, and I want it to happen for all the people that are in this community. Everybody. So we're going to reach into, now we move from talking about taxing rich people to taxing Floridians, because we just... We've got some things coming up in the budget, items that had just got passed. And obviously, DeSantis's big deal is we got to get rid of property taxes. That's his kind of legacy project now, is we're going to get rid of property taxes. We're going to make this happen. And there's, again, great arguments on both sides of that aisle, right? There's great arguments for this idea of getting rid of property taxes, especially for folks that are 65. I actually heard somebody say that you should get rid of property taxes for people that are between the ages of 25 and 35. That way they can afford to buy a house and bring it in. And it was just, I'm like, okay, that's an idea too. I look at it like, my father-in-law owns a house that his father built in 1908. He's moved into his father's 1908 home. He's owned that outright for a long period of time. Yet all of a sudden, we are in a place where he's basically paying the government to keep his own house. I can see where there's some problems with that. But I also know that this property taxes are what fund schools. These are what fund our local first responders. And we can't just say, all right, well, we'll figure it out down the line. Again, unintended consequences. You take that away, all of a sudden now you got a bigger problem on the other side. And how do you fund that? How do you make that happen? Do you do it through increased sales tax? Someone's got to pay that bill. It can't just go away, right? Someone's got to pay it. So that's one of the things on the legislative agenda. We've got a couple of other bills sponsored by folks here locally that we'll get to in the next 30 minutes as we move through the hour. I want to say I'm just excited to be here, continually glad to be here. Again, my name is Craig Heinzman with Marcus Point Baptist Church. We do a lot of things here in the community. One of the things coming up, Easter sunrise service at the Wahoo Stadium on April 5th. Egg Wahoos are the day before that. Big egg hunt for your kids. We want you to come out and enjoy that event and enjoy the sunrise service. Another early day. We'll see you in a bit.
Jalosi, more than 200 million people across 40 states are in the path of a life-threatening winter storm that begins today.
This storm system is going to continue to track throughout the entire country, leaving tons and tons of snow in its wake. Areas like Oklahoma City could get up to 8 to 12 inches of snow as we move throughout the weekend. Now, this is going to continue to track up towards the north and the northeast.
That's Fox Weather's Bane Froney in Dallas. No school, no work, no shopping. Not because of the storm, but because anti-ICE protesters are calling for a day of action in Minnesota.
Organizers of today's protest are calling for a pause in economic activity as they demand ICE to stop their operations in Minnesota. The protest comes a day after Vice President J.D. Vance visited Minneapolis, blaming state and local officials for the unrest in the city.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 55 degrees. We've got cloudy skies right now. We'll get to our forecast in just a few minutes with Brooke Richardson. Well, a Pensacola family wants answers after a hit and run left a 17-year-old badly hurt, Jamarian Vander. He was riding on an electric longboard. This was over on Burgess Road near West Florida High School when he was hit by an SUV. He said the driver and the passenger got out of the SUV briefly, but they never checked on him, and then they took off.
I don't want no type of bad harm to come to the person, no type of hatred or anything, but to at least take accountability for what they did.
Vander suffered a fractured leg in the accident, also some injuries to his face. FHP is investigating. The family says so far, though, they have not heard any updates. Well, a piece of military history recognized yesterday in Pensacola. Private Thomas Martin was posthumously awarded a Congressional Gold Medal. This ceremony was held at Veterans Memorial Park. Martin was one of the original Montford Point Marines, the first African-Americans that served in the Marine Corps. Ronald C. Johnson is the national president of the Montford Point Marine Association.
Private Martin is one of our original Montford Point Marines. His story is just profound with the 20,000 Marines in which went through Montford Point Camp between the years of 1942 and 1949. And Private Martin just so happens to be one of those Marines that went through that time and deal when those were first African Americans that joined the Marine Corps.
The Congressional Gold Medal is the highest civilian honor for military service, and the Montford Point Marine Association is still searching for Marines that were part of the Montford Point training facility and have not yet been publicly recognized. Well, a 21-year-old Pensacola man's been sentenced to life in prison without parole for murdering a 70-year-old woman. Terrence Gross Jr. was convicted on first-degree premeditated murder charges for the drive-by shooting that killed Myra Hayes. She was shot in the neck as she was sitting on her porch on Aris Boulevard in Montclair back in June of 2024. Following that shooting, Gross and two others jumped from the Highway 90 bridge as they were being chased by Escambia Sheriff's deputies. One man died in that jump. Another was captured immediately. Gross was found days later at the U.S.-Mexico border in Texas. Well, while the national housing market stumbled a bit in December with pending sales down about 9%, Pensacola is heading in the opposite direction. Local realtor Christina Leavenworth says December sales jumped 33% compared to November. They're up 12% compared to December of last year.
It has been like someone turned on a fire hydrant of just so much activity between buyers being like, hey, I want to go see five homes today. And we haven't heard from them in months.
And Leavenworth says the Pensacola market is not reflecting the national trends right now. Florida Senator Rick Scott backing President Trump's new health care proposal and rejecting a return to Obamacare. In Miami yesterday, Scott said he supports Trump's great health care plan, which would put money in the hands of patients and increase price transparency in the system.
Trump's right, and I've got a bill actually to do what he's talking about. Number one, stop giving the money to insurance companies. Let's make sure we put it into a health savings account that they can buy it on their own. And then the next thing, people have got to know what things cost.
Scott said those changes would drive down costs and give consumers and not insurance companies more control over their health care decisions. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with PJ, get a look at our traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by BathFitter.com, the leader in bathroom innovation with exclusive BathFitter PermaFit solution. Your new tub or shower is built to fit perfectly and guaranteed for life. Visit BathFitter.com. It is a quiet morning out there. I-10 and 110 are both looking good at this hour. Mobile Highway clear through Beulah. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some showers today, 40% chance of rain, otherwise cloudy skies, high near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 54. For Saturday, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 67. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 64. For your Sunday, 90% chance of some showers and thunderstorms, high near 68, and temperatures dropping Sunday night to 29 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 55 degrees. We've got cloudy skies right now. Our next news is at 7 o'clock, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, Pensacola. Craig Heinzman here, sitting in for Andrew McKay, who's enjoying some well-deserved rest. We were talking through a little bit of the legislative agenda, what's going on in Tallahassee. Lots of things kind of coming down the pipe as you have DeSantis in his swan song season. He is kind of wrapping things up. He's thinking legacy now. He's thinking, how do I leave this? Obviously, property tax has become his big thing. A number of different ways they're looking at the possibility of taking care of property taxes. You've got the HJ 209, elimination of 65-plus homeowners tax exemption, homestead property tax. Again, homestead, this is primary residence, not rental residence and that kind of stuff. HJ R 203,
means it incrementally expands the homestead exemption over the next 10 years until a full exemption from non-school taxes while protecting core public safety funding. And then you've got HJ 201, which is just basically the rip the Band-Aid off approach. All of it exempt homestead property from all ad valorem taxes except for school districts. And then, there again, there's multiple different versions of this. None of them have been the official version, the one that's been adopted necessarily by DeSantis just yet. Another thing that he's looking to do this legislative season is an artificial intelligence bill of rights. Now, this is SB 482. It's realistically establishes a statewide artificial intelligence bill of rights with rights around AI use, data privacy, and parental control. Interestingly enough, OpenAI has now kind of, they're starting a new thing with all of the hubbub that's going on with Grok and everything else. And guys, AI, law of unintended consequences, again, plays into fact here. You've got so much AI stuff going on right now, and it's, I see so much of it on, I work in some AI fields and I do some things with AI, so I can begin to see some of the commercials that are clearly AI. There's this one that runs on YouTube and somebody's standing in front of a Florida flag, but the flag, the seal is messed up. AI doesn't do well in the details, FYI. That's the big piece that everyone needs to understand, kind of how to clearly see what AI is. But OpenAI, ChatGPT, is going to now try to tell how old you are based on a few factors, and it will change what you can see based on whether or not it feels you're old enough to see certain things. So it's got behavioral age prediction, which these signals are going to be language patterns, activity timing, the account age, and the usage habits. So it's going to take the account age, which obviously anyone knows. If you've had kids, you could get around, I was born in blah, 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 because you can just lie and people lie. All right. And so that's a possibility. So yes, it does take the account age into it, but then it looks at how do you phrase things? What level is your language skill? Okay. It looks at what times of day are you doing this? If you're not realistically on this app past quote unquote bedtime or during school hours, it's going to start saying you might be underage. So we're going to limit or restrict what you can see. The problem with that might be some of us may still speak like toddlers. But we need an AI responsibility. That's on the legislative agenda this year, is artificial intelligence bill of rights. How do we see it? How do parents have control over it? Another big one that's got some local push to it, and one that I'm very well aware of is SB 52. It's filed by Senator Gates in this legislative session. And the whole concept of this is for security teams at houses of worship. We saw what just happened with the interruption of service up in Minnesota. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care if it's Muslim. I don't care if it's a Jewish service. I don't care if you're, I don't care. I don't care what it is. Mormon, Presbyterian, Catholic, Baptist, whatever. When you come into a church service, there should be a sense of, hey, we're here to honor God, and this doesn't need to be a place where we can just get interrupted like that. So I'm 100% against that kind of stuff. But this specific bill actually works on security services at places of worship, because right now, so those security services are supposed to have security officer licensure, meaning that if you have a security service, they're supposed to be licensed security officers. But if you are at a church or a synagogue or a mosque, you understand that a lot of the people that are handling your security, they're volunteers. They're volunteers that may not have that. And so what this is doing is it's creating an exemption from this licensure for those who are volunteers that provide armed services at places of worship. We understand that places of worship are under attack. There are people that come to those places with specific intent to harm. Now, some things that are there, that have to be made known. You have to have a valid concealed weapon carry permit, right? You have to have passed a level 2 background check, and you have to be operating under a security plan approved by the county sheriff, all of which are easily done. I think those are valid things. Say, hey, here's the security plan. Here's how we're going to engage. We employ Escambia County sheriffs at our church. We have sheriffs on site every Sunday. And so our security team, we do have armed security team, that security team knows we're not here to engage. We're here to observe. If we see something, we go to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. We tell them what's going on, and we make sure that it gets taken care of quickly. But this basically what it does is it relieves the burden of these churches and these volunteers from having to go through this security officer licensing. I think it's a great bill. I'm hoping that gets passed. There's another one that Mr. Gates has proposed, and that is allowing mother-in-law suites, basically giving you a right to have a mother-in-law suite or place on your residence. So, and that's a great one too. Let's get to traffic on the fives.
Looks like we have a vehicle crash. County Road 297A at Meander Lane in Cantonment. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives. Back to you.
Yeah, and I think it was here I was talking about that with Andrew. It's possible. But the great thing about that one is it solves affordability without necessarily having to create new land or create new programs or whatnot. You can just put a mother-in-law suite in the back of your house and you can rent it out. Now, whether or not your HOA approves that, I don't know. HOAs are a whole other thing, but whatever. Someone texted in, and your comments are welcome. Man, we want to hear from you. 850-437-1620. The Bill of Rights is supposed to limit government. I have no problem with regulating AI companies and use, but feel it's deceptive to call it a Bill of Rights. I can agree with that. I think it's true outside of, I hope this Bill of Rights does limit the government as well, how much they can gain or get from these AI companies. But we also have to understand we're using some of this stuff. I bought a vacuum. I'm assuming it's Chinese made. It's one of these. It vacuums, it mops, it does all the stuff. It's one of those robot vacuums. And it LiDAR scans my house. I knew going into this, guys. I knew. I'm about to give whoever's on the other side of this coin, you know, whoever's in this data center is now going to have a complete scan of my home. And they're going to know every room. They're going to know every nook and cranny. They're going to know where every piece of dust is in my house. I'm trading that for the fact that I don't have to, you know, we've got a dog that sheds incredibly. We love her. She's amazing. I actually just wrote a children's book about her. Available on Amazon. No, I just, but it just came out. But there's hair literally everywhere. That's the title of the book. And so we needed it. We needed to have a vacuum that could take care of that. And this one was one of the best reviewed. But I knew setting it up, I was like, I'm giving access to a company that may or may not have government control, government support, you know, oversight. I'm giving access to this company to scan my house and own a scan of my house. That's what's happening. I mean, that's what I did. And so I walked into it knowing that. And we have to understand that that's the case even when we use AI. So let's grab some commercials and we will be back shortly.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thanks, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all, no duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin, weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative,
informative,
local, dependable.
Dependable.
I am still living with your ghost, lonely and dreaming of the West Coast. I don't want to be your downtown.
Welcome back. Good morning, Pensacola. It's Craig Heinzman sitting in for the one and only Andrew McKay. So glad to have you here. 6:50 in the morning, and hope that you are awake and having a great day so far. We were talking through some of the bills that are being considered in this Florida legislative session and how they may affect us. We talked through not only the property tax, AI Bill of Rights, some of these things that are very important to Governor DeSantis as he closes out his administration here. But there is a one bill that that is causing a little bit of stir, especially in South Florida, and it's HJR 583. And it's a religious freedom for religious expression in schools. The official title is Protection of Religious Expression in Public Schools. And you've got a lot of folks going, well, we're talking separation of church and state issues, separation of church and state issues. And I think we can raise both sides of this debate easily. The amendment would explicitly protect the rights of students and school employees to express religious beliefs in speech, clothing, coursework, and voluntary prayer without fear of discrimination. Supporters argue that it's not just about adding religion to school, but it's about removing the double standard. One lawmaker said, we're not adding new rights. We're protecting ones that are already in existence. And that's kind of the heart of the pro side of this. Now, the opposite side says, listen, they're not hostile to religion, as they're sometimes portrayed. Their concern is about power and pressure and equality in schools, and they fear that there's some that might be coerced by authority figures into faith groups, that minority religions or non-religious students might feel marginalized. Voluntary expression could blur into implicit endorsement. And so there are both sides to this, and we have to understand that. One lawmaker said that public schools must remain neutral places for every student. And that's a real concern. That's a true concern. But schools are really not level playing fields. Teachers have authority. Peer pressure exists, and students are young. So where do we balance? How do we get this to a good balance point? There is truth that the system has gone a little too far in restricting religious expression by students and teachers. I really think that that's one of the bigger issues. We've seen that play out here in the Pensacola area in some cases. And in trying to avoid endorsement, schools have increasingly defaulted to suppression, not encouragement, not neutrality, but silence. They've said, the easiest way to make sure that everyone is equally viewed or equally taken care of is that no one can say anything. And so the idea is we do nothing religious whatsoever, or we do everything. And basically those are the two sides. And what we're, I think what this side's saying, and I would agree with this, HJR 583, is that we need to allow students, all students, whatever faith background they are, whatever faith background they hold, to have religious expression and the freedom to do that. If they need to pray, they should be able to pray. If you know, this idea that prayer is discouraged even when it's just voluntary, faith is, as references are removed from schoolwork, so now you can't talk about your faith in a school paper or something of that nature. Teachers have to completely avoid the even the topic of religion. I remember I was, as a substitute teacher, that was one of the things that I was, as a pastor, I was also a substitute teacher, I was not allowed to really tell anybody that I was a pastor because it would be bringing religion into school. And this would help teachers that might have a religious opinion about life and about, now I don't want anybody teaching my kid how to believe, but I certainly don't mind my kid understanding beliefs. And differing viewpoints and differing beliefs. Students are warned to keep their faith private. And that's not neutrality. That's just not neutrality. What that is this restriction. So balance means opening the door to all religious denominations. It means students can express their faith or skepticism freely. Teachers can acknowledge their beliefs without preaching it. Schools can neither punish nor promote religion, and participation should remain voluntary. No belief system is going to be elevated above one above the other. Expression is allowed, but endorsement is not. And I think that's what's important in this bill, is to say, they're not saying, hey, we're going to make the state-sponsored religious schools, but we're going to say, if you have religious beliefs, you're going to be able to express those. And that protects Christian students and Christian teachers, Jewish students and Jewish teachers, Muslim students and Muslim teachers, minority faith students and teachers of minority faiths, and students, honestly, that don't have faith at all. They can all take some solace in the fact that this, I believe this bill is helping to just clarify the rights that we have and that our teachers and our kids have. And that's important to me. Let's get to PJ with traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, County Road 297A at Meander Lane in Cantonment. They're saying there's a roadblock associated with that. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you, PJ. So, if you were catching the news, you might have seen that there is a new brand. Pensacola's got a new brand. After 10 years, we've gone from the upside of Pensacola. I think then we would move to Pensacola's First and Future, I believe was the previous one. And now we are where Florida begins. Pensacola, where Florida begins. And I am a brand junkie. I love logo design. I love creative logos. When you can do it well, man, you will impress the heck out of me. The arrow in the FedEx logo is to this day one of the coolest things. Have you seen the arrow in the FedEx logo?
I don't think so.
Oh yeah. So the E and the X, there's an arrow.
Oh.
And when you see it, you can't unsee it. And then you're like, that's so cool that it exists right there. You know? And so when you do it well, you're going to get my kudos, because it is something that is hard to do. It is very difficult to create a brand and it go well. So I was downtown, I was eating at Pal Fox, eating at Carmen's, again, support those downtown businesses during the reconstruction of Pal Fox. It's going to be amazing when it's done. It's going to take some, you know, we got to get there, but it's going to be amazing. But here's the thing. I saw the logo. Pensacola, Florida, where Florida begins. And I was like, okay, it's good. It's like a fountainy sun. It's how I would say it is. And then I watched the video announcing the logo, that Mayor Reeves did. And I fell in love with it, because it's not just a sun or splash. It's a lot of different things. And they've released the video. I don't think they haven't released. I said, send me the whole thing, 'cause I want to see all the images. But one of them had the blues, and they were in all the splash, like they, as they fanned out, they were right there in the splash, and I'm like, oh, that's freaking cool. So kudos to that. And they also didn't spend $1.2 million in a firm in Tallahassee. It was a lot less expensive, and it was done right here in Pensacola with folks that love and know who we are. So kudos, I think, to that redesign and that rebrand on the city. Craig Heinsman, Pensacola Morning News, 92.3. We'll see you at the top of the hour.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
From New Mexico to New England, I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Millions of Americans prepping for a blast of winter.
If the storm comes in as predicted, it will take time for roads to be cleared and passable.
Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger declared a state of emergency. Many other governors have done the same.
This is going to be a big, big, impactful event.